from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So let me get some help on the WadeFord.com hotline as I welcome in our buddy Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game Hawks reporter. Caleb, first of all, are you watching this right now? What is going on with the USA team?
Chris, I'm not, because I thought that was definitely a friendly that I could just catch up on later, because I'm trying to rack my brain right now of who the NBA pros are on that South Sudan team, because none are like immediately coming to mind. I did not think that was a game that I would have to take too seriously. So that's a bit concerning, but at the same time, doesn't it feel like every time the Olympics come around or the World Cup that it's one of these types of games in a friendly that causes the U.S. to wake up a little bit and be like, hey, we've got to figure things out.
Yeah, I think they started 1-for-12 from three, the U.S. did. Just absolutely awful. I saw they had when they were showcasing the team, they had one player that's going to Duke, and that was the big showcase player. So I don't know. But, all right, let's talk about another thing that you should know more, I guess, but I don't think anybody really has any idea of what's going on, and that's with the Atlanta Hawks, because the entire plan for Summer League was to watch Reese Hoshea, watch Kobe Bufkin, and watch Juricic develop. And we have not been able to do that because they're all injured, Caleb.
Yeah, I think the one that I'm like the least concerned about is Reese Hoshea, just because now it is an injury. He is dealing with an injury. Some form of a bruise, essentially.
Quad contusion is what they're calling it.
Yeah, they just want to be careful. And I think, honestly, they had seen what they needed to see out of Zachary Reese Hoshea. This is pretty common for your top stars to play a couple of games and then to be held out for what's typically, you know, the quote-unquote rest. But for them to put the quad contusion, this is a legitimate injury. Otherwise, they would have just said, hey, we're holding him out for rest. So it's a bit concerning, but the fact that he had this injury and they didn't just say, hey, we're shutting him down for the rest of the summer, like, for instance, the Spurs with Stephon Castle did, that makes you go, okay, maybe not that big of a deal. The concerning ones is obviously Nikola Jokic, who straight up breaks his foot in the Spurs game, which was just wild because for all of us Atlanta media that were there watching the game, we were racking our brain of like, I saw him leave and I saw him go to the locker room, but I don't know the exact play, like what really happened for him to have that injury. And now that's a guy who's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks as that heals. And then it's obviously going to take some time for him to get back into basketball shape. Kobe Bufkin is one that the team is acting like, hey, we're not that concerned. Like, you know, this is just something that popped up that we're handling. But we know Kobe Bufkin's injury history. And so this has been something that it's been, you know, unfortunate every kind of couple of months through his rookie season and to this point of like, man, something else that he's dealing with that you don't want to put the label injury prone on him. But quite honestly, anything that happens this next season beyond this, then that's going to start to happen, quite frankly, because they really were hoping to have Kobe there for summer because he's a guy who experienced summer league last year, and having a quote unquote veteran point guard be able to lead the team would make things look a lot better. And instead, you know, you're dealing with all of these sorts of things. And then, you know, Mo Gay is also someone who he hurt himself in that Lakers game and is something to kind of monitor. Hopefully is not a big deal. But yeah, injury is definitely not on the side of the Hawks right now.
Just for a reference point, ironically enough, Milwaukee Washington just started and Sarr is playing. So interesting decision making between different teams here. But as you did say, it looks like this isn't just a rest situation for Zachary Risacher. It is.
Yeah.
It is because he's actually injured. All right. So moving on to the actual roster now, as we sort of matriculate our way here through the rest of the drips and the drabs of free agency, the Hawks have not done anything. Who's playing the two?
I mean, I think it's going to be Bogey, quite honestly. I don't think that they're, you know, necessarily married to anyone right now. And quite frankly, I think this is going to be a season of trying lineups that nothing is particularly set in stone, just because of the way the roster is. You know, I mean, I think they've got some options of whether it's they want to play some Dyson Daniels and get a better, you know, defensive setup, or whether they want to switch up things and go with Bogey to get that offense. Quite honestly, Chris, I think the biggest concern with this team right now is they have five centers on the roster, and there is no way that they're going to go into this regular season with five centers on the roster. So, you know, not that they're going to figure out the two spot by trading someone, but it's certainly a possibility of, hey, are you going to move Clint? Are you going to say no to Bruno Fernando and not bring him back? Are you going to trade a guy like Larry Nance? Because it seems like the two that you're stuck with for sure is Onyeka Okongwu and I am
Clint.
Blanking on the guy.
Clint.
No, not Clint, who they traded for in the Pelicans trade that they're stuck with because of the whole money situation.
EJ Liddell?
Not EJ. No, EJ is going to play at the four, but probably not play a whole lot. He looks like Prince William, and I'm completely blanking. That's my bad. But otherwise, like, they've got to figure this thing out with, you know, the number of centers that they've got. But yeah, as far as the two spots, I think
Cody Zeller is the guy we were thinking.
Cody Zeller, yeah. Thank you. There we go. So Cody, because he had to be a part of the DeJounte Murray trade to even out the money, because they made that deal after July 1st, which meant that DeJounte's contract, his new contract, was in place. Because of all of that, they then needed Cody Zeller. Cody Zeller wasn't under contract with the Pelicans, so they did a sign and trade. Now it's kind of a little bit convoluted and confusing, but because they did a sign and trade, it's a 3-year deal, and Zeller can't be traded until December of this year. So, like, he's on the roster, and not a guy that they necessarily would want to be on the roster. So that's why that's why they're dealing with five centers right now, something that they've got to clear up that maybe can help them add some depth at the two, but that's also banking on Kobe Bufkin being healthy and him being the backup point guard so that Dyson Daniels can play some of the two. Bogey, you know, Bogdanovich would hold it down. And then, you know, they're figuring it out, you know, three through five, based on Jalen and Reza Shea, and presuming that DeAndre Hunter is going to be around. And man, that's a name that I keep bringing up, and a guy that I have seen absolutely nothing from. That man has gone in his off season, and it feels like just jumped off the face of the earth, and no one's heard or spoken a whole lot about him.
Yeah, I think it's presumed at this point that nobody wants his contract, because why would you? He makes a lot of money for not equal production. All right, so here's, let me throw something at you here. Our good friends at Bet Online sent out win total odds for every NBA team this year. I'll give you one guess, and then I'll tell you. What do you think their win total projection is for the Atlanta Hawks next season?
Let's see. Did they put them at 36?
That is you are as close as you could be. They put it at 35.5. That is a great job by you, Caleb Johnson. So what do you think? Do you agree with that assessment, or should they be better than that?
35.5. Yeah, that one's tough.
That's essentially what they did last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I mean, I've told you already, like, I think based on the roster that they have, that they are most likely going to go into camp with and into the regular season, which is pretty much what they look like right now. I feel like that's pretty accurate, because if we were to get at the end of this season and say, oh, okay, the Hawks are fighting for, you know, the 8th through 10th seed, and they essentially have one star, one budding star, I believe, on the way in Jalen Johnson, and a rookie, you know, top overall pick, I feel like a lot of people would be, okay, we can handle that. Obviously, there's the element of, well, you want them to be better than that. You want them to be further along based on the moves they've made in the past. But I feel like everybody's got to hit the reset button as soon as Zachary Risacher came into the picture. And expectations are, if they're competing for an 8th through a 10th seed, I would call that a success. I've been on the record, and I'm comfortable in the fact that this is going to be a bit of a lost season, because they're figuring their way out after drafting, you know, number one overall. And it is all about planning for 2 to 3 seasons down the road, which is something that no one ever wants to hear. And it certainly puts question marks around how does Trey handle this? Because we've heard him all offseason say he wants to win. However, it seems like as of late, whether it's showing up at the San Antonio game or whether it's him voluntarily responding to a Hawks fan on Twitter the last couple of days, he seems to be on board with Zachary Risacher, and I feel like he absolutely should be, because what we've seen from Zachary Risacher is a guy who is a really good shooter, strong defender, and he is team first. He is all about passing the ball and trying to make the right play instead of being a guy like DeJounte, right, wrong, or indifferent. DeJounte wanted the ball in his hand, and DeJounte wanted to be the one taking the shots. So I have to wonder if Trey sees that the market out there for him is not as robust as he maybe thinks of himself, and he gets a new, really talented teammate in Risacher, that maybe some of that stuff cools down, and this Hawks team can actually build towards something in the next 2 to 3 seasons. If not, I think at the trade deadline is when you see him on his way out, and the Hawks, you know, plan for that long-term after having a star.
All right, before I let you go, obviously in your best opinion, nobody knows this except the individual himself. Where is Quinn Snyder on all this? Because when he took this job, I just don't think he thought, in my opinion anyway, that this would be the path he'd be going down. That's just what I think.
I mean, I'd have to imagine you're right. I have to imagine that, you know, he thought that he was joining a team that just needed a better direction with coaching and needed a better plan for development. Because that was the thing against Nate McMillan is Nate straight up was big on like, yeah, I'm not trying to develop. You know, Nate was like, I'm here to win. And I think Quinn's enough of a basketball nerd, quite honestly, that I think he likes the development element of things to kind of, you know, piggyback those two words off of each other. But I think at the same time that Quinn thought he was walking into a situation that was more readily able to win. And so hindsight's 2020 for everyone, but I have not gotten any indication that he's unhappy in the situation. Just it's not playing out how I'm sure he imagined things. And I have to imagine, you know, once he saw some of the other jobs that opened up after he took this Hawks job, that maybe there's a bit of buyer's remorse and going like, man, if I had just waited around. At the same time, I think the level of power that he's got within this organization, that he's kind of built through his own, you know, his own smarts, quite honestly, the respect that he's gotten from Trey, who has always been someone to, you know, speak very highly of him. And then if I were to go out on a branch, quite honestly, and this is a bit of a stretch because this is speaking for Quinn and, you know, we can't do that. But I didn't get I got the feel that he was maybe not the biggest fan of DeJounte. And so maybe partly of getting, you know, DJ out of town and in return getting a guy like Dyson Daniels, who's a really strong defender, and that's something that Quinn really wants. All of these things, on top of having Reza Shea, maybe making Quinn feel better about his situation instead of, you know, how things were going at the end of last season.
All right, Caleb, appreciate the time as always. Make sure you get to a TV. Second half, USA, South Sudan is about to begin, and the USA is down double digits. Who would have thought?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, bud.
All right, man, have a good one.
All right, that is our buddy Caleb Johnson.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.